Good morning. I am Rhonda Williams. I'll be reading the scripture today for Katie Smith, who is the deacon for the month. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 18 can be found on page 1053 in your pew Bible. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what we can see is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one head and Lord of the church. I greet you also on behalf of the Baptist World Alliance, that family of Baptists scattered across the world, of which you are a vital part. 105 million Baptists, 37 million of whom are pledged to unity within the Baptist World Alliance. In their name, I gratefully acknowledge your partnership with the Worldwide Baptist family as one of the global impact churches, and I wish to congratulate you for the sense of mission that you have expressed and the solidarity that you have shown in the work of Baptists around the world. But I'm here not to talk about the Baptist World Alliance, but to preach a sermon. And so let us pray. Now, gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. You saw them, didn't you? And you heard them, didn't you? In the midst of the devastation, destruction on every hand, despair being something reasonable to contemplate, you saw them singing, clapping their hands, calling out to their Maker. Because the devastation that took place in Haiti could not stop the Christians. In the midst of their despair, they found courage to retain faith in Jesus Christ. And do we? Or is it true, even as we gather on this first Sunday in the season of Lent, that there are times when we are pushed to the limits? There are times when we are severely tempted to surrender our faith, to give up on God, when the going gets tough, when all around us we see signs of destruction, when hopelessness envelops us, and any sense of light in the darkness dissipates as a mist before our eyes. When we are threatened with the loss of employment, or we actually experience it. When we see our homes and the homes of others being gobbled up in the economic nightmare of our times. Can it be that we are sometimes tempted to lose hope, to surrender confidence in our Maker? and to take the journey away from the faith of our mothers and fathers and the faith we have known for years or for a short time. Because for us, adversity has been the midwife of our faithlessness. There's nothing new about this condition. There are many who have faced challenges throughout the years. And if you listen to their stories, and if you read the scriptures, you discover that there are many who have traveled this way in the pilgrimage of the Christian faith. And they have met the winds of misfortune in one way or another. And have decided, I will not give up. St. Paul is one of them. And we read earlier from his epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And Paul continues, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul should know. He should know about the temptation to give up. For this man who had been a fierce persecutor of followers of Christ had to pay a heavy price for his faith. Hear him again in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. Oft-repeated words. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times. I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own people, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. He should know. He should certainly know about the temptation to despair, about the challenge to throw in the towel in the battle of life and to surrender to the forces of despair. And I believe that the words that are said in our text for today by the Apostle Paul are words that we need to ponder. There is a way to not give up. There is a reason for not giving up. And this Paul discovered, as have many Christians throughout the years. Shall I tell you about the American missionaries who went to South India to preach the gospel to the Telugu-speaking Christians in that country? Toiling and toiling and toiling. Not a single convert. The Mission Society decided, what should we do? On 3 occasions, they took the decision to close down the project. But somehow, by the grace of God, they did not. After 5 years of preaching, the first person was converted. And today, there are more than 1 million Baptist Christians among the Telugu Christians in South India. Suppose they had given up. The missionaries who were there, Dr. Clough and his wife, suppose they had said, there is no way of turning the corner on this despairing use of our time. But they did not give up. They kept their focus and God blessed their work. May I tell you about Mina, a 20-year-old young woman whom I met in Nepal last year. I had just preached a sermon at a church in Kathmandu Valley. The members were gathered, all of us together, in the upper room of a house, a spacious house. We had sat on the thinly spread carpet on the floor. We had sung and prayed, listened and shared. And at the end of the service, I spoke with three of the young people who participated in leading the service, and Mina was one of them. These were students who were preparing for the ministry at the theological school in Kathmandu. And she told me her story, the only Christian in her tribe in western Nepal. How she heard the gospel and she was led to commit her life to Christ and to offer herself for the ministry. How she walked for 3 days, sleeping wherever she was at nightfall, and then took the bus for 2 days, passing through the tracks and then to the roads to Kathmandu to be trained for the ministry. It was near the end of the school term when I met her, and she was planning to do the same again, to return home and then back to college to complete her studies. She had a long way to go. "But I will not give up," was her resolve. "I will not look to the left or to the right. I will keep my eyes on this job that God has called me to do." She knew about Daniel Suba, the president of Nepalese Baptist. She knew the persecution he faced. She knew the hardship. But she was not willing to give up. She was going to press forward to the end. Shall I tell you about Zaru Balaev in Azerbaijan? An Armenian Christian who lives in the northern region of Aliabad, where he is a pastor of a small Baptist church. Living in a secular state where religion is not easily tolerated, but in that part of the country, what with the geopolitics, with the problems with Georgia and Russia, the Muslims have been able to influence the leaders of state to put pressure on the Christians. And one Sunday morning, as they were worshiping the Lord, the police paid them a visit and harassed the members of the congregation and took their pastor, a prisoner, accusing him at first of trying to fight them. You should see what Zaru Balaev looks like. He's a very slender man, not a man who could ever dare to think about fighting anybody. And then afterwards, accusing him of having a gun and so on. Place him in prison. He was tried, sentenced for 2 years. Thanks be to God, representation was made on his behalf and he was freed. I met him last year at a conference in Portugal. I said, "Zaru, tell me about your time in prison. What do you have to say about that now?" He smiled. And then he said, "God had me go to prison because he wanted somebody to preach to the prisoners there." He told me about the conditions that he faced in prison, the harassment, the frequent interrogation, the bad food, the behavior of the prison guards. But he said, "I did preach, and some were converted." And the week when I spoke to him, he said one was to be baptized that very week. Must I give up? When pain defines the contours of my life, must I give up? When disappointment is all I know, must I give up? When the going is great, only in the eyes of those who cannot see, must I give up? If I had time, I would tell you about Orhan Pekkalar, and I would tell you about Pavel Pacek. I would tell you about Malkas Angolashvili. If I had time, I would tell you about Baptists across the world who, in the midst of despairing moments, are holding forth to their faith and saying, "I will never give up." And that's what Paul says in this text. And he says, I will not give up. And he offers in our text three reasons why he will not give up. Three ways in which he will overcome the temptation to surrender the faith. One, I will not keep my eyes on external things. I will not let the outward appearance of things distract me. I will concentrate on what God is doing inside me. Hear him. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He knew that however things look on the outside, the person who lives in Christ is a new creature. He knows all things have become new. We see with new eyes. We have a fresh vision. And when others see only doom and gloom and destruction, we are able to see beyond that. For even if on the outside things look hard and everything suggests that we should be despairing, we have to remember God is working in us and God is doing that work to renew us in the image of Christ and to make us the people that God wants us to be. I will persevere, says Paul. I will not allow external things to deceive me. A second way in which he will persevere, he says, I will persevere because I will not fix my sight on what is seen, but I will fix my eyes on what is unseen. Hear him in the text. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If all we depend on is what the mind can conceive and what the eyes can see, we limit our possibilities. Paul calls upon us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord, who is the Lord of the Haitian Christians who can sing in the midst of adversity. That Lord is with us. And if we keep our focus on our Lord, our courage will remain constant in our quest for faithfulness. Only by keeping our eyes on Jesus can we overcome the distraction that this world supplies day by day. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, communing with the Lord in prayer every single day, reading the Word of God often, gathering with the people of God regularly, keeping our communion with Christ is the antidote to the bother and the frustration that would drive us to losing our way with Christ. No, I will not give up. Let me be shipwrecked, let me be stoned, let me be flogged. I will not give up, for I will not allow external things to deceive me. I will not fix my eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And Paul adds a third word. I will not give up, because I will keep the future in proper focus. Yes, Christians are called to work for the sake of those who live in the world today, to ensure that people have a good quality of life in this world. That is a requirement imposed by the calling to love. But let us never forget that here on earth we have no permanent home. We must remember the words of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you so that I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Paul says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. Yes, we may struggle now. Things may be hard now. We may be tempted to despair. But God is with us, and God, the Sovereign One, is able to sustain us. And better days are coming. Ask Paul again, how did you make it? Why did you go on? And hear him answer. in harmony with the missionaries to the Telugu Christians, the Telugu Indians who became Christians in the long run. Hear him speaking in harmony with Mina and with Zaur. Hear him saying something about the grace and the goodness of the living God, who never abandons us, however hard our days are. Brothers and sisters in Bowie, stand firm in Christ Jesus. Whatever you face in your personal life, in the life of your family or your community, do not lose heart. Do not be afraid. Whatever the disappointments, whatever the struggles, take your stand with Jesus and find life and hope and peace in the midst of the storm. For in your struggles, God will never forsake you, and your tomorrows can be better than your todays. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. God our Father, at times we wobble in the darkness of our despair, when we yearn for a light to show us the way, and we struggle for the courage to keep on the course. At times, O Lord, we are on the edge of giving up, for life seems so hard and the prospects so bleak. And then we remember you, and we remember your word, and we remember the example of many who have gone ahead of us and many who are living even today. By the grace of your Spirit, help us so to keep our confidence in you intact. Help us to retain our focus entirely upon you, and help us never to forget the marvelous and vast sweep of human history, with a past, a present, and a future, which are securely in your hand, that come what may, we will never give up on you. Hear this, our prayer, for Christ our Savior's sake. Amen.
We've been honored to have the leader of the Worldwide Family of Baptists inspire and challenge us with a word of hope from Holy Scripture. And to think that we are a part of a family of Baptist Christians numbering 105 million worldwide, but we're also part of a much smaller church family here, and we invite you to consider becoming a part of this local expression of Christ Church. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus and followed him as a believer in baptism, we would invite you to make that decision. Or if you previously were baptized on the basis of your faith, but you're not a part of this local church, we invite you to consider joining us and becoming a part of this church family. The invitation is extended to you to come forward as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
us and abide upon us all, now and forevermore.